This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
They've raised the bar on Rochester Sports Talk. You're in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Just a couple of days away from finding out which prospects will become Buffalo Bills this weekend with the NFL Draft. We'll dive into that and more with Matt Perino covering the team for the Syracuse Post-Standard. You can also hear Matt with Ryan Talbot on the Shout podcast. Matt, before we talk draft and last-minute ideas and scenarios that could play out this weekend, we haven't had a chance to talk to you since the news came out that Terry Pegula is offering up to a quarter or a good chunk of the Buffalo Bills for sale. What do you think that's all about?
Anybody's guess. I mean, he probably needs some money for the stuff that he's got to do at the arena. I think I've seen that kind of idea floated around, and you know, I think like my overarching observation on Terry Pegula's ownership style is that, like, you know, he needs people in the room, right? Like, I mean, he hasn't talked to the media since 2019 on the Bills side of things. I saw his opening remarks today. I couldn't watch the entire press conference. Did he take questions?
No.
He did not. So I think part of it is an influx in money. They'd still be making all the decisions. I thought Tim Graham's coverage of that and the podcast that accompanied it was really, really solid. But it seems like the wave of the future. If somebody's willing to give you, what, over a little over $1 billion to have a minority stake in the franchise, I get it. It's an influx of cash. And plus, what did he pay for the team? Right about that, right? $1.4 billion?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just wondering, though, because, and I guess the NFL takes care of this, like how many minority owners are there in the league that we don't hear from? Like, that's the question that I would like answered. We'll never get answered, Matt, is like, whoever this may be, if this indeed does end up happening, will they have any sort of voice as far as, you know, what direction the Bills will be going as an organization?
It's hard to say. I feel like the direction that the team goes in for now is pretty much led by Brandon and Sean. I feel like Terry takes his cues from them, and obviously on the business side now, Peter Gwelly entrenched in that COO role, and we'll learn more about him and obviously what his vision is for the organization. But I think from a football perspective, unless something drastically changes with the on-field product, like I feel like it's kind of like, you know, let those two guys run the show. And from a directional standpoint, at least in the near future, like next 5 years, your quarterback set, you have one of the best players in the NFL, and I think it's just about building around that dude.
Matt, I'm pretty sure I've convinced Gino that the Bills are going to take a defensive player late in round one. I think we all would like to see them take a wide receiver, but then my question is, and I think the reason why I've convinced Gino of this is, and this you may or may not know the answer to, where do the Bills, like, how do they value the positions? Positional value to me is something we don't talk a lot about, and certain teams value certain positions differently. And the idea that you can have cost control with that first round rookie contract, I think matters to NFL GMs when they're making that selection. So with that in mind, do they put more of a value, more of a premium on defensive line or edge rusher than they do on wide receiver? Do you think that enters the line of thinking at all when they make the decision come Thursday night?
I think it's part of the conversation for sure. And I think that you can make an argument that I think that they view those two positions pretty highly. Like I'd almost say that if you're going over the hierarchy of positional value, I think that after quarterback, I think wide receiver and edge rusher might be in the mix. Offensive line too. But I just feel like they've just spent more resources, bigger high-end resources at wide receiver and defensive line over the years, specifically edge rusher. You know, even some of the secondary kind of deals that they've done. I mean, Floyd was making about $10 million last year. You go back a couple years before that with Jerry Hughes and Mario Addison, and they throw some money. And it's never like high-end money except for Von Miller, but it's always been pretty consistently high. And then at wide receiver, same thing. They paid Cole Beasley quite a bit, Emmanuel Sanders, John Brown. I mean, they've spent money at those two positions more so than anywhere else. And it's why, like, even safety in the second round feels a little bit too rich, because I think just positional value wise, that's a position that in the league isn't as important. And also, like, within their system, they've been able to develop guys to play those roles. I mean, go back 2 years ago, and it wasn't always great, but DeMar Hamlin played almost 1,000 snaps for them as a second-year, sixth-round draft pick. And so that I think that positional value is definitely an important part of the conversation. I don't think it's necessarily the be-all, end-all, but when you're talking about wide receiver and defensive end, I don't necessarily think that in their eyes, and this is just my perception, one is necessarily higher than the other. I think you can make an argument that right now with Von Miller, Greg Rousseau, and A.J. Epenesa, and even Kingsley Jonathan to a degree, that's a nice foursome of players, or at least one that you could roll out and you feel comfortable with. They could still add in free agency, as opposed to Curtis Samuel, Khalil Shakir, and Justin Shorter. I mean, it's a tough group right now that if you were to roll the ball out, I know they have Mac Hollins as well. I guess you could throw him into the mix. It's a group that I think needs a little bit more talent.
I think actually probably both do. And I'm going to ask the question this way, Matt. Matt Perino, Syracuse Post Standard, the Shout podcast. Yesterday we had Chris DiPasso on. He does great work, and asked him about the draft in terms of edge rushers beyond the first round. He's like, look, after the top four, good luck finding somebody who can contribute right now. If you're just taking this from the depth of this draft, Matt, could something be said for, well, you can get your Chop Robinson fill in the blank here at 28 or somewhere close to, can the Buffalo Bills, and I think this is the question, afford to wait until the second round, whether that's pick 60 or moving up, to get that wide receiver?
I think they can wait. I think that the depth at wide receiver is so much so that if they're not comfortable moving up, because I think at this point, I'm to the point where, you know, Schefter last week on a podcast saying that he thinks A.D. Mitchell is going to go much higher than people think. I'm starting to get to thinking that maybe the top five receivers are off the board by like 22. So if that's the case, and you're Brandon Bean and you're not willing to make a jump past 20, then maybe you're going to have to start thinking about the idea that you might have to maybe even trade up for one of those players, like, you know, an edge rusher, whether it be like a Latu, if he kind of falls. I don't think that's going to be the case. It seems like he's picking up steam, but maybe Jared Verse out of Florida State could be a guy that they move up a couple spots for. Cooper DeJean, just because of the corner safety versatility, I really like that idea. I would love that idea at 28 for them if he was there. He just seems like a Sean McDermott kind of guy. And then in the second round, there's a bunch of different flavors. And I think you could choose with like how aggressive you want to be to go get the guy you specifically like. But there's a lot of different options. And I think that just because of where they're picking, if you're not trading up, you know, I almost think you should trade back, because the value that you're going to get and potentially adding another top 90 player, I think is so good. And maybe you can double dip at receiver in the top 90. Now you're talking about adding two wide receivers, in a very deep draft class. I almost feel like that increases your chances. Wait till you see my mock draft that drops tomorrow. Let's just say that.
That's called a tease. Yeah. Professionals, stay down. Matt Perino joining us in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. How about this? You're competing against the Kansas City Chiefs. That's the team you have to get over on. I don't really think that the Buffalo Bills should settle. I think the Buffalo Bills need to get a difference maker on the offensive side of the ball, somebody who can, day one, be a replacement for Steph Diggs. What if the Bills get into the top 10? What if they get to, let's say, 8 and jump the Bears and trade with Atlanta and give up next year's first round for Rome Odunze? Are you in on that, Matt?
I am in on that. I think that if you can make it happen, go make it happen. I was on a podcast today with Joe Biscaglia from The Athletic and ESPN's Alina Getzenberg, and it was on Joe's podcast, and this actually came up, and you know, the trade up into the top 10, it's complicated, but it's also like low key kind of doable. And you know, that first round draft pick the Bills have next year, I think that it's more than ever before tradable because of that Minnesota second round draft pick. And you never want to go into a draft without a first round pick, but if you're going to have to do it, if you get Odunze and you have an early second round pick that you can maybe be aggressive for if you like somebody to get back into the first round next year, it's almost like you worry about that a little bit later. And, you know, there was actually Joe kind of brought up a trade scenario where the Bills give up that pick next year, 28 and 60 this year, and then they go down to 75 and then add another one in the top 90. The trade chart just worked out that way. So there's a lot of interesting ways to do this. Now, how do the Bears view the Bills' first round pick next year? Do they view it as, you know, like if you were taking the temperature of the national media, a lot of people think the Bills are going to take a step back. If that's the feeling within the NFL, then if you're Brandon Bean, you can almost sell that draft pick a little bit better than you would in most years, because maybe that ends up being 17, 18, 19 in the draft, or maybe even earlier if the Bills somehow miss the playoffs. I don't think they're going to, but if that's the feeling. But again, Brandon Bean also said, he kind of couched all of this the other day, last week, when he said, I've been in Carolina before when we've traded a future first, and the worst thing ever is when a guy doesn't hit that you traded that future first for, and then the year comes past, and you have to sit there at the draft and watch somebody that you could have really used get drafted with the pick that you would have had.
Yeah, it's one thing where you hit the known commodity in Steph Diggs, and well, I guess that's the question, because there's all sorts of rumors, Matt, and I don't think this could happen, but what percent chance do you think Ayuk, A, gets traded, and B, would Buffalo be in on a Brandon Ayuk?
I don't know. I like the Odunze move a lot more than I like the Ayuk move, and that doesn't have anything to do with being down on Brandon Ayuk. I think he's an elite player. I just think on the other end of that, to have to pay that price tag, knowing the kind of astronomical numbers that Josh Allen's contract is going to reach over the next couple of years, I almost feel like you're resetting the salary cap with what you've done this offseason. And I feel like it muddies the water a little bit if you're going to add another player that has that kind of potential earning power, you know, when you're going to be paying upwards of $30 million a year for a wide receiver. And Ayuk's great. Ayuk's a bona fide number one. Like, I think that what he's done with a lack of elite quarterback there in San Francisco has been sensational. And what that would look like with him in the Bills offense, it sounds great in theory. But I also think, you know, this is a general manager and a scouting staff that has a lot of cachet around the NFL. And, you know, when you talk to other scouts, when you talk to media people, people speak glowingly about Brandon and this entire group that he's put together. You know, they've hit at a lot of different levels in the draft. You know, most recently, I feel like they've had a couple of really strong drafts. So now it's like the one position that they haven't really had to test themselves on is wide receiver. And when you can get a cost-controlled player, I think you got to trust your scouting process and go find the guy that you really want to have. And if you're willing to give up those assets for Ayuk, you should be willing to give them up for a younger player that's coming back to you on a rookie contract with a fifth-year option, where you get 5 years of bona fide Josh Allen prime and a wide receiver one on a rookie contract. To me, that's much more alluring.
Yeah, Matt, give us a little bit more on your mock draft that's releasing tomorrow, because I'm curious of how this first round is going to lay out for the Buffalo Bills if they do remain at 28? How many quarterbacks do you have going? How many wide receivers do you have going before the Bills are selecting at 28? Is this one of those years where, just a different year where you see the majority of these players coming from the offensive side of the ball rather than the defensive side of the ball? What's your scouting pre-draft look like here leading up to your mock draft?
So I talked to somebody yesterday after Peter Schrager put out his a tweet where he said it's obviously a heavy offensive draft where, you know, there's like six guys that could go in the first 15, and there's another six guys that could sneak into the back end of the first round but could be out of the first round completely. And so it's obviously an offensive dominated draft. And so in the first round. And so I reached out to somebody in the league and they said that's right on the money. He's like, I think those bottom six guys, I think Chop Robinson was one of them. Cooper DeJean was one of them. The scout still thinks they're going to sneak back into the first round. But if that's the case, it's going to be offensive heavy. If you're the Bills, you need those six quarterbacks to go. And that's one thing that Schrager said on Pat McAfee today is that what he's hearing is the six quarterbacks are going to go in the top 15. And we're talking about some of the betting lines, and like you can last week, McAfee said that Penix was -130 to go in the top 15 of the draft. This week, 6 days later, he's now at -230. So there's obviously some action there where I just think teams are going to be positioning themselves to get the cost controlled quarterback, because even at 15, if you get Penix and maybe you're not in love with him or Bo Nix, it's probably better than having to go the retread route next year and go with the Gardner Minshews of the world or the Jimmy Garoppolos or, you know, insert name. So I have six quarterbacks going in the top 15, which pushes some of those wide receivers down a little bit. And then I have the Bills kind of surveying things and picking their spot and getting up and getting one. And I think that to what Gino said a little bit earlier, I do think that there's a little bit of pressure, if it makes sense, for them to come out of this draft with a difference maker or the potential of a difference maker next season. I'm higher than on Dalton Kincaid than I feel like most people are. Like, I think we're in such a, you know, what have you done for me lately kind of world. And I think people forget what the book on him was when they drafted him last year. Like, this was supposed to be like the future number one weapon in this offense. And I know it may be coming a little bit sooner than anybody anticipated, but what this offense could potentially look like with Dalton Kincaid leading the team in targets, I'd be interested to see what that looks like and how much of a jump he takes from year one to year two in a league where tight ends typically take a huge jump from year one to year two. And he was pretty good as a rookie. So that's why, like, if this doesn't happen, the scenario that I'm going to lay out tomorrow, and they end up having to trade back or sit and pick, and they take one of these, you know, fun defensive players, whether it be Averse, Robinson, DeJean, maybe even like Johnny Newton, or if a Byron Murphy falls, I don't think that's going to happen. I think there's more action on him going in the top 10 than the bottom 10 of the first round. If you got to move back, if you got to stick and pick a 28 and take somebody that maybe you're not as excited about, I still think you're happy if you're Brandon Bean with Dalton Kincaid in this offense and getting him where you got him last year to maybe fill at least the majority of the void left by Diggs. And oh, by the way, how big of a void is it? Like, that's another thing we're not talking enough about. Like, the dude was invisible for 12 weeks at the end of last season. So much so that, like, when he did get big targets in big moments, like in the playoff game, it ended poorly. So I think that they need to reimagine this thing anyway, and I don't necessarily think we're looking at it the right way.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Matt Perino, Syracuse Post Standard. Matt, last one from me, and I feel like I got to just ask for your thoughts on this because you were bringing up the whole, my gosh, we could have six quarterbacks in the first round, maybe in the top 15. How is it that an industry that invested so much with scouts and analytics and blah, 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 that we really don't have any idea? We have no idea. Just look at last year. Here's Bryce Young, number one. Yeah, that doesn't look so good. C.J. Stroud should have been the obvious pick. Look at the Cardinals taking Rosen when you could have had Lamar Jackson or teams passing on Josh Allen. Why is this profession so difficult, Matt, in your opinion?
Because it's like anything else. Like when you're talking about a projection, you're trying to take everything that you can learn about somebody and figure out how they're going to respond in a given situation. So all the things that go into being an NFL quarterback, from the fit with the play caller, the fit with the culture of the team, the fit in the city, the fit in the media market, the fit with the supporting cast and the players that you get to play with. That's just five basic fundamental things right there that if you don't hit on one of those things or if one of those things is off, I feel like most guys are set up to fail from the very beginning. And I'm not sitting here saying that Zach Wilson would have been some great player had he landed somewhere else. It's not about that. It's like, I think things, it's like as the situation goes along, I think different factors affect it too. So like maybe there's a bad first year and maybe the confidence level is shot and then you're never able to get back to a place where, you know, you feel you can be competitive, or maybe you feel like there's not a belief in you because this is a world, the NFL world, that it is like if something doesn't happen in three or four games, it's almost like the panic button is getting hit everywhere and people are asking questions. People are having to answer questions within the building. There's so many different elements that can kind of flip things. And I think like I take Josh Allen's ascension or his landing spot and why he's hit the way that he has hit. He got to come in with very little expectation in an organization that has been an absolute laughingstock. And even though like he was kind of a laughingstock as a prospect, remember all the negative things people said about him? It's like, okay, I might be that, but I play for the Bills. So it is what it is. I mean, they haven't gone to the playoffs for 17 straight years. And it was almost like that led to this perfect marriage between player and, you know, play caller and everything else. Like it all fit together perfectly. You know, Patrick Mahomes got one of the best coaches, offensive coaches of all time. And he got to sit behind Alex Smith for a season and see how it's done and got to kind of bide his time and see how it was going to go. I don't know, man. It's really, really hard. It's why people get paid millions and millions and millions of dollars to do it. And if you can't, you're out pretty quickly.
Yeah, and I think to myself also, kind of based on what we heard from Brandon Bean last week, when we're talking about whoever it might be that they select, and specifically if it's a wide receiver, how much intellect will play into that as well. And that's another thing that we really don't know. None of us get the opportunity to sit down with these guys and pick their brain outside of the press conference here or there and know just how smart some of these players are, their ability to grasp a playbook or learn an offensive system. Do you think that is a weighing factor in who the Bills end up selecting if it's a wide receiver in round one?
Without a doubt. And that makes this, the hardest part about figuring all this out is like, you know, the only thing we get to really go off of is, you know, if you went to the Senior Bowl and were around any guys that were there, if you were at the combine and got to talk to anybody. And a lot of that times that's in the, you know, the media space where guys are nervous anyway. I go back to, you know, who I absolutely loved 2 years ago at the combine. His interview was just really just tremendous. And he was so smart about the way that he answered questions, was able to field them, and then give you back something that was so informed and kind of let you in on the whole process was Trent McDuffie. Like, I thought he was an absolute home run of a pick just based on like that 20 minutes that I got to talk to him. And like, you know, there was a couple wide receivers this year that I got a chance to talk. I thought Troy Franklin was probably the best of the bunch from an interview standpoint. And we know that the Bills have spent a ton of time with him. But again, that's very limited. Like, I haven't gotten on a whiteboard with him and seen what he can do with the playbook. And that's another part of this. Like, the Bills have a very complicated playbook. And if you bring in a guy like Mitchell or Thomas and you're asking them to be, you know, any type of version that Stephon Diggs was in this offense, where he got 4 years to kind of learn this thing and grow in this thing, that is a huge role to step into. And you got to be convinced, especially if you're going to give up assets to go get one of these guys, that they can handle it, that they're about that. From everything I've read on Thomas, he's going to be able to be that. And, you know, he in a different situation without having to play, you know, understudy to Malik Nabers, would have shined even more. And the guy led the nation in touchdowns. So, man, this draft, I think this is going to be what my sixth draft covering the team. This will be the one. And I didn't cover the Allen draft. That was right before I started. Out of all of them, I think this has the widest range of outcomes that I think that can happen. And I think even Bean going into this, he probably has something down deep that he really wants, like a player that he really wants. But it almost feels, after talking to him last week, like he's preparing himself for any kind of outcome. And the one that could be the most likely, maybe trading out of the pick to add assets, you know he's not going to love going to bed on Thursday night if that ends up being the case.
See, a trade up also gives you an early deadline coming up Thursday night, man.
That's all right. I'd rather like get after. I got a little bit more energy at around 9 o'clock than I do at 11:30. So I'd appreciate that if they went way up. Let me get to work. I don't have to sit around and just gorge on whatever media food they put out.
Well,
you
can appreciate this, Matt. I mean, my routine, I'm not going to speak for Gina, but my routine on night one of the NFL draft is when we get done at Three Heads, we have a couple of pops while we're, you know, waiting for round one to get started. We hang out with some of our regulars here in the sports bar. And then I drive to Steve T's there and I get myself a plate so I can eat my feelings while I'm waiting for the Bills to make their selection late in the first round. You do the same type of thing, right?
I mean, yeah, if just replace plate with delicious chicken wings, and that's what I'll do.
Fair enough. Matt, tell us the schedule for the Shop Podcast. What is coming up in a busy week here?
Oh, my gosh. We have so many mocks. So Ryan's dropped on Sunday. Mine will come out tomorrow. We have a podcast for Monday night. I caught up with Antoine Staley from the New York Daily News to take a spin around the AFC East. We did a cool kind of concept where we kind of looked like, what do teams in the AFC East not want other teams to do in the draft? And that was our podcast. That's up now, which was a pretty fun exercise. And then tomorrow, Carl Jones from Rochester, he's jumping on the pod. And then Justin Mello from the Draft Network, he's absolutely crushed it. Draft time and recording all these visits and everything like that. Those two gentlemen are going to join us for a first round live mock draft in real time, no trades. But we'll talk about trades. That'll be about an hour extravaganza tomorrow, 4 o'clock, and then it's off to the races.
All great stuff, Matt. Appreciate the time as always. Let's talk again next week.
All right, buddy. Take care.
You got it, Matt. There's Matt Perino covering the Buffalo Bills for the Syracuse Post-Standard, the Shout podcast as well. He joins us every Tuesday afternoon at this time to talk Buffalo Bills in the sports.
That would be the shocking move, trading up to get Odunze.
That's what they need to do. Now I've convinced myself.
Need to do it.
If you're trying to beat Kansas City, if you're trying to be the best team in the AFC,
then get to Mahomes when it matters.
Okay, well, the pass rusher is not. If you're going to trade up in the top 10 to get the pass rusher you want?
What I'm saying is that, yes, the Bills are thin at wide receiver. We can all nod our heads and say, yep. And they're also pretty darn thin at the end position at rusher. I'm not counting on Von Miller. You shouldn't count on Von Miller either.
This is a fun time of year. By fun, I mean extremely busy for sports agents. And we have the opportunity to talk to one next in the sports bar.
Lee Steinberg, who one of the greatest, should be in the Hall of Fame. Like, he's just, like, he meant that much. We will get his thoughts on what this is like this week, this changing landscape, too, when it comes to betting and everything else. So really curious to get the thoughts of one of the best, Lee Steinberg.
And we'll have Seth Appert on also in the 4 o'clock hour, Rochester Americans head coach. He's stopping by at 425. You can pull up a stool at 585-866-4FAN, 866-4326.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.